announcing the commencement of the annual purge.
This July, have your voice be heard.
I purge.
I purge.
Show your support.
I purge because it's my civic duty.
For the purge.
I purge because staying in is un-American.
This is your emergency broadcast system announcing the commencement of the annual purge.
The soul of our country is at stake.
The senator's going to win. She's going to make real changes.
The purge has to come to an end.
At the siren, all crime, including murder, will be legal for 12 hours.
Senator, let's begin lockdown.
All emergency services will be suspended. Your government thanks you for your participation.
We're going to use this year's purge to do something about that, Senator.
We're being hunted.
Go, go, go!
We are on our own.
It's funny because we're barely to the third entry of this film series here, and yet I've already felt like this premise have dried out and worn out. It's welcome, I want to say, about a couple of years ago. We're talking about the Purge election year. And right off the bat, just going to go ahead and say it, did not like the first one. I think I gave the first one a stream. Maybe I gave it a fuck it. I don't remember. Second one, I didn't review it on here. Saw it. That was cool. Like Frank Grillo a lot. Frank Grillo is cool as hell. Especially seeing him just go down the streets and just rampage on a bunch of motherfuckers. If you like stupid 80s action films, then hey, Purge election year. Let's go ahead and get into a plot. Oh, not plot. What was that one called? Anarchy. Yeah, Anarchy. And then we got Purge election year now here today. And I believe they released this because of all the, let's just say, Trump, Hillary's, Bernie voting. You know, it's a little thing going on in America right now about, I don't know, just a new president and stuff like that. No big deal. But, okay, so we got here. We got Purge election year, and we got Elizabeth Mitchell in here, and she's playing Senator Charlie Roan in here. And her whole thing is she wants to end the purge. She said she's sick of it, and she's lost, I can't remember if it was her child or a family member or something like that. She lost her family, basically, in the purge. Frank Grillo, head of her security, who plays Leo Barnes, and his job is just, I want to make her sure she's safe, because, and you know, she even asked him, hey, why are you doing this job? She's just like, well, look, I lost my son years ago in this purge, and I'm almost fucked up myself and done some pretty terrible bad things. I want this night to end, and I believe you want it to end too, and bada bing, bada boom, as Cody would say. So, you know, next thing you know it, she's like, I'm not going anywhere purge night. I'm locking up. They get one of Frank Grillo's teammates here, and they turn on him and by some Nazi Confederate flag wearing motherfuckers that are like suited and booted, which I don't even know why they made them Nazis and Confederate flag wearers, because that really never became like a part of their personality. I mean, I never once heard them say, oh, just a filthy nigger or something like that. I mean, they were just kind of there and looking tough and big and suited up and badass, and that's about it. So I don't know why they had to be Confederate flag wearing Nazi tattooed up looking motherfuckers, but whatever, go with it. Yeah, the crazier the better, right? Because people are just so into shock value these days, and that just seems to be the thrill of these type of movies. So next thing you know it, Leo and the senator, they're on the run, they're on the move. Meanwhile, on the other side of the plot of town, bam, over here we got, I'm gonna fuck this dude's name up, but he plays Joe Dixon, and we're talking about McKelty Williamson. He was Bubba in Forrest Gump. I like shrimp, fried shrimp. Bro, I'm about to say Bubba Shrimp. What the fuck is Bubba Shrimp? He's working in this little convenience store, mini mart, whatever, with or deli, yeah, there we go, with Joseph Julian Soria, who plays Marcos in there, a little immigrant guy from Mexico who just needed an opportunity, yes, because that's what America's all about. And Joe here gave him that opportunity to work in the deli. Next, you know it, they raise the insurance up on Joe's purge night, whatever, because they know they can get more money out of this night, because everybody wants that purge insurance. And he can't afford it, so he just basically says, I guess I'm going to have to take the shop into my own hands here and kill a motherfucker if he comes and rob me and whatever. Not to mention you got Betty Gabriel here, who plays Lainey Rucker in here, and she's kind of a paramedic badass, if you will, in the film. I believe she was in the last. I can't remember. No, I don't think she was in the last one. And so, next you know it, the senator and Leo, they come across these guys after being in a little bit of trouble, and they kind of team up just to get the senator to safety and stop Edwin Hodge, who plays Dante Bishop in here, who leads kind of a resistance group. They're going to try and stop him from killing good old Terry Serpico, who Earl Danziger, her running mate, to become president pretty much. So he can continue the purge and feel, because the founding forefathers, they're all about this purge needs to happen because it helps us. I never understood the concept of how the purge keeps the rich alive and the poor dead, because I about to say, if I was purging, I would think I would go for the rich motherfuckers, not the poor motherfuckers. That don't make any damn sense. So I think the first movie even stated that as well, whatever. So this series is all over the damn place with this method here. So there you go. That's your plot synopsis pretty much. There's a lot more thrown into it, but when you really get down to it, it's kind of fucking dumb. Let me take that back. It's not kind of fucking dumb. It's fucking dumb. Not really a fan of this Purge series at all. They're kind of like streamings at best. I think they're fucking terrible in some parts as well. This one, I don't know. The first one was kind of just boring, and it was just kind of like I feel like with this premise, they haven't handled it properly yet. I don't think they went, because I'm watching these movies and look like the same shit over, by the way. And I'm watching these movies, and the most I'm getting out of it is on Purge Night, where everything is legal. The most I'm getting out of this is, so people are just wanting to murder people. I mean, I know that's probably the highest degree of a crime you can do, but I'm almost certain there's some other crimes we can come up with. Like, who wants to pull the biggest heist on a bank? Rob, blow up the IRS building, you know, and fuck me over in taxes and stuff. I feel like the murdering of just random ass lower class or middle class people is just, is that really the best we can do? Can we show us some more crimes than just murdering someone? Because there's a lot of fucking crimes out there that you can get in trouble for that I'm almost certain that I would love to see this movie on the opposite side of the spectrum here. And people are like, what do you mean by that? I want to see someone who wants to purge in vengeance, kind of like Frank Grillo in the last movie, but not so much vengeance of a dead child. Or maybe that'd be all be cool too, whatever. But I'm saying, like, I don't know, let's just say a bank fucked an old elderly woman up, whatever, and they ended up losing the house and stuff like that. So the son, he's just on a murderous rampage to find this guy that's, I don't know, some shit like that. I want to see it from his point of view, you know, just a dude that just lost, that has everything taken from him, and he just goes on a rampage of killing someone, pretty much just taking out the bad son bitches, you know, the motherfuckers that was just losing their shit and stuff like that. Even though this movie kind of tried to make a clear conscience of saying, yeah, even though there's some good people in this movie, they're still doing fucked up things just to justify what they're doing is right. I per se don't agree with that at this point in the life, in this time frame, and in this universe. I feel like you got to do whatever you got to do to survive. This movie, I will say now, let me go ahead and get some positives out the way. Positives here is Frank Grillo, Elizabeth Mitchell. Those two damn near carry the film. Everybody else is a fucking cartoon or just fucking awful. Frank Grillo, he's not on screen as much as he was in the last film, which I thought was personally a shame, but he is on screen a lot, and the reason why is because the camera kind of goes back between this storyline, we got these people over here, we got these people there, and once it gets to the middle half and the end of the film, it does get more into the frame, because they're all teamed up again, but the beginning kind of goes back and forth, and you're like, I don't really give a fuck about what's going on with this Negro in his shop right now. Matter of fact, I'm just waiting for a Molotov cocktail to go through it, and like, poof, blow that shit up, we'd be done with this storyline, whatever, done with it, get it over it. I feel like they were just thrown in there just for the minority perspective of everything. Don't you just love that? Minority perspective, diversity. But he was great in it. And him and Elizabeth Mitchell, they got a lot of chemistry in here. And she is fine as fuck in this film. I honestly thought there was one moment they were going to, you know, culturally clash, if you catch my drift. Somebody saying culturally clash. Ain't they both white? Let me rephrase that then. I thought they were going to fuck. Yeah. And it would have been hot to see, to be honest. Not to say that this is something I want to see, but how come no one ever gets raped in the Purge world? I noticed that. There's no raping, no kidnapping of children or anything like that. I mean, I'm just saying, I know it's going to be fucked up. Yeah, fucked up film, you don't want to see it, but let's expand our crime rate just a little bit more than just, oh, there's a person on the street, shoot him. Hang him from a tree. And it's like, oh, okay. We actually going to Home Depot to buy ropes just to hang a motherfucker. Okay, all right. Wearing some silly ass Halloween masks that look like we just joined the Suicide Squad. So we some kind of Suicide Squad or something. Anyway, though, another positive I have here. I guess this is more for Frank Grillo. I like seeing him being a badass. I think Frank Grillo is an underrated actor. I think he's amazing. I think he's great. Thing about Frank Grillo too is he's made for an action star. This guy, when he kicks ass, is something you want to see. I do not think that the action in here was good though. I thought the action was actually kind of stupid. Let me rephrase that. Not kind of stupid. I thought it actually sucked. And the reason for that is because every time they're about to do something, throw a punch. At least in the beginning, middle half of the film, the end, they kind of let go of that. Beginning, middle half of the film, they're gonna throw a punch, shoot someone or whatever. Or just have anyone jumping in something like that, it's got to be glamorized, you know? It's glamorized because it's put in slow motion. They show you the shots and stuff like that, and it's like, okay, you can just fucking stop with that. But I'm talking about positives, not negatives. Positive, another positive, I like that this world looks dirty, grimy, and just looks like a fucked up place to be. Where in the blue fuck, though, did someone get a goddamn guillotine in the middle of a DC... the projects of DC. Where the fuck would they get that from? Did they order it on Amazon and put it together themselves? That shit blew my mind when I saw it. And they're just running through the street and the senator saw it. She's like, oh my God. And then this guillotine just cuts a dude's head off, whatever. I said, Negroes ain't that ingenious to make some shit up like that. Well, what's going on here? Can we start making these kills just a little bit more believable? Motherfucker made a homemade drone. Who in the blue fuck made a homemade drone? And let alone buy the pieces to have the time to make that shit up without any of these fucking government agencies spying on your ass in a heartbeat. I think see if I can find no more. Joe by Mikael. I mean, he was that black side character that's just like, yeah, he says some funny things every now and then, but I'm not gonna lie. His fucking dialogue, and I thought his acting per se was fucking terrible. I thought it was fucking terrible. Every line that came out of his mouth, it literally looked like he did really have a mouth problem like he had in Forrest Gump. I was like, oh, that's not him acting. He really, that Negro's face is really just shifted to the side to where he has to speak like that. I'm trying to think of some other positives here. I guess that's kind of it, but to be honest, it's the Frank Grillo Elizabeth Mitchell here. And then the action itself, I mean, the violence and stuff, I'm not going to lie, I don't give a fuck about violence. I mean, I know people go crazy over this idea, just like, what if the world was really like this? Or let me rephrase, what if America was really like this? I don't think it'll ever be like that, you dumb fuck. It doesn't make any damn sense. This does not help the economy. This actually could ruin the economy. But we're attracting more tourists. And the reason why they say it helps more the economy, too, is because, I kid you not, people, in this movie, they're interviewing people that's traveled here from other countries, talking about, like, we want to be like America. We want to murder and let all of our rampage out because we're so angry. And I was just like, nobody in America, let me rephrase that, not nobody. Most people in America are not this goddamn angry to the fact that they got to stand out. Like, I'm looking at a screenshot of this brother right here. Maybe I'll post it with this view. This brother is muscled up and shit, covered in blood, just screaming in the middle of the street. Nobody is that damn angry, okay? To the point where you got, I'm assuming this girl's supposed to be 16, 17-year-old. I just killed my mother, and now I'm coming for you, bitch. Bitch. And they say bitch in here so many times, it made me go like, damn, maybe I need to reflect on my life by saying that word now. First of all the characters in here, I thought was just shit. Except for, hey, maybe Edwin Hodge. I mean, he was probably the most toned down of the few. Betty Gabriel, I don't know. I think they kind of... As serious as she's playing it, I thought her role just got a little fucking ridiculous. I was waiting for her to put on a hockey mask and join the Ninja Turtles and stuff like that and call herself Casey or something. Because it gets to a point where I was just like, okay, I'm kind of tired of looking at you. I want to stick with Frank Grillo and the senator here. I want to see that storyline here. Because the founding fathers in here, they're a bunch of old white people. I mean, that's pretty much who you got to murder. The old white, rich white people. They are the bad guys in the film, and they are cartoonish as fuck. You waiting for Bugs Bunny to show up because they're like... this motherfucker right here, Terry Serpico, he was terrible in the film. He sound like Looney Bin Jim in Punisher War Zone. I'm gonna get my applesauce back. That's how he's talking to the family. He's like, we need to do something about this cunt and this bitch. And it was funny because at the first like 20 minutes of this film, where you got these old white hags and you got Joe Dixon and Lainey and Marcos and all them, nobody in this first 20 minutes felt like how real people actually fucking talk. They were hamming this shit up, to be honest. I mean, every fucking line they said, the word cunt was coming out. I was like, nobody says that word. I can tell you this right now. Nobody says the word cunt. Unless you're Australian or from the UK or just me in general, you don't say that. I no one talks like that. They were saying, it was like some of the most awkward dialogue scenes or whatever, as far as like just, if you want to make this somewhat realistic or anything like that. Nobody talks like any of these people was talking about. He was just like, we need to get this cunt and we need to show her that America is. I was like, somebody shut this dude the fuck up by putting a grenade in his mouth. How come nobody's died that way? That's what I want to see. Maybe because it's just too gruesome, because it would imitate some of the real world problems we have. Then why the fuck make the movie in the first place? I mean, you make a movie where crime is legal for 12 hours. Why not go all out and balls out, if you ask me? Have the Predator fucking show up and just hunt motherfuckers down, if you ask me. So, as you can see, I have a lot of negatives with the film here. Now, getting into the terrible acting here, we're going to move a little bit on. You know, you guys, you might know just a little bit here of the trailer, where it's got the girl in the mask that says kiss me, blah blah blah, got the big ass titties and stuff like that. That was a 16, 17 year old girl I'm talking about that killed her mother earlier in this review. Well, you know, we first get introduced to her and her little hot ass friend, by the way. I do not know who these girls were, but all I can say is they were pretty goddamn hot. Well, at least her friend was. The other chick, I don't know what the fuck was going on with her. She looked like she just hadn't slept in days or something like that. I don't know their names, and personally, don't really give a fuck. I think it was Brittany Mirabelle, yeah. Oh, no, I think that was a hot one. I'm not sure. Whatever, doesn't really matter. And they're in their little schoolgirl outfits, and they're skipping around. They start stealing candy bars, and Joe's like, now, y'all need to put that candy bar down now. I'll have to call police on y'all, giving you an option. And they tell him, you old fuck. You ain't gonna do shit, yo. And I was like, oh, God. Oh. I was like, this is only about like 15 minutes in the movie. I think it's safe for me to walk out right now. I think I got enough of what this premise will be now. So they were the girls that came back to that store. They were the ones that started the trouble at this store and began the whole leaving the store part. And I swear to fucking God, they probably were the worst acting in this whole damn movie. To the point where not only is this cartoonish, but it was just outlandish and had me dumbfounded on what the fuck they were actually there to kill him for. And I kid you not, it was for a fucking candy bar. And that's when I said, yep, this movie might be taking itself too serious to have stupid-ass moments like this. And she delivered it in such a way, because these girls nonstop, they got like some noodle neck shit going where their head is tilting the sky and it's like, fuck you, old man, I wanna get my candy bar. I was like, oh shit. I think I said, yeah, that might literally be up there with the Megan Fox going, cowabunga. For worst line delivery of the fucking year. If this doesn't make it in worst top 5 worst line delivery award of the year, then my God may have mercy on Galactus's soul, because God damn, that scene was painful as shit, because they repeat that line, shut the fuck up, dog, I'm doing a review. They repeat that line at least 3 times with her in that same distance out, spaced out, gooey eyed look she was giving about her goddamn candy bar. And I was like, oh God, give me my candy bar. And that's how her head was spinning too. Candy bar. I want my candy bar. I was like, oh God, please somebody stop this shit. And you know, nobody took the time to just put a bullet in her ass. You know, I do commend, what's her name? Lainey, for just running her ass over. I was just like, oh, thank God. You know, that was probably the best part of the whole movie for me. and somebody shut her the fuck up, and that was amazing. So now we move on back to Edwin Hodge or whatever, when they team up with him because they got some underground facility where they've, you know, they got doctors, they're helping people, the injured, the wounded, and they got a plan now to take out this guy that's running for president because they're like, we can't leave this up to chance. We need you to win, Senator. You got to win this because we got to end this day. But we don't believe you're going to win, so we just going to kill his ass. And she's just like, we can't have him die like this, whatever. We can't have him be a martyr where people will praise him and love him. And so, and I can't win this way because I don't want to win this way. I will win and stuff. And that's all nice and stuff until she gets taken. The Nazi Confederate flag motherfuckers, Ku Klux Klan Nazi Confederate flag motherfuckers, they get a hold of the senator. And they're holding her up in this weird-ass white church. This is where religion gets involved now and how God has brought the purge and shit. And I'm not gonna lie, my eyes really started rolling. I was like, oh my God. First, we went into politics. First, we went into classmanship as far as class, upper, lower class, stuff like that. Then we went into politics, how, you know, this is pretty much like government's doing here and stuff, which, by the way, it felt like it was trying to say something, but I think it falls flat on its ass because of all the blood, guts, and the girl with the candy bar scene and stuff like that. All that shit just gets lost in the middle of this bullshit-ass muddled here story. And then when it gets into the third act or whatever, when we get to the saving the part, it gets into religion. I was just kind of sitting there, I was just like, oh boy. Oh dear God. And how, you know, God has holy water these weapons to kill this bitch because the founding fathers and us, we need the purge because God wants us to release our anger. And I'm just sitting there going like, what does this say about America? Because I've said it before, I'll say it again, you know, America loves to believe that every other damn country is just so violent and dangerous, and America is just the land of safe, non-destructive people and stuff, and which is full of shit, by the way, mind you. America is probably, at times, can be one of the most dangerous fucking countries to live in because some of us are violent as fuck. I don't think we're as violent as this fucking movie is saying it, though, because I just don't understand. Maybe I'm not suspending my disbelief just a little too much. Maybe that's me. I'm putting me up at fault with this. But I just can't see how you can go from a murdering psychopath to murdering your parents and then trying to murder and burn down a store for a fucking candy bar. And then when them 12 hours up, you go back to living your day like, I'm going to tell you this right now, what my purge plans would be if that happens. I'm heading straight to a B of A, and I'm robbing that motherfucker. Without a shadow of a doubt, I'm robbing that motherfucker, and I'm going to go bye-bye to a nice little island somewhere off there south of San Juan, Puerto Rico, and I'm just going to hang out there for the rest of my mind-staking life. Apparently, people don't have plans like that in this movie. They just have plans of getting candy bars and shit like that and winning elections. Which I hear the little rumblings. Oh my God, if Donald Trump was president, this is how the world would look. Shut the fuck up, please. I know Donald Trump's a fucking moron, but I highly doubt it would get to this. Okay, if we didn't get to this with Bush, the fuck make you think we gonna get there with Trump then? Trump ain't gonna do a goddamn thing, people. I'm letting you know, if he wins, he ain't doing shit. He ain't gonna do a damn thing. He's gonna be like Bush, except lazier. Either way, though, I digress off that point here. We get to this gunfire shot where, you know, they save the senator and everybody's happy living after ever and stuff. Joe dies because why? Because he was the black coon. I mean, the black sidekick in here who's cracking the one-liners that only a Negro from the streets could. And, yes, he was from the streets because, I kid you not, people, he did a Crip whistle in here. And the movie lets you know it's a Crip whistle because his deliberate lines were, what was that? Oh, it's a Crip whistle. You know, you holler that out to let you know that you either a Crip or that the other Crips that, like, you know, we safe in here. I was like, what? I've lived in Compton my whole goddamn life. I ain't never heard of no motherfucking Crip whistle that signals a motherfucker. You mean like Tarzan? Was this like a mating call for gang members now or something? I was like, that was the, I ain't gonna say these two because that candy bar scene really takes the cake, but that was one of the stupidest gang theories I have ever fucking heard. I was like, a Crip whistle. And when they opened the door, the Crips was like, yo, we ain't gonna hurt y'all. We just want y'all to take care of my homie. Got shot and stuff like that. Good looking out, big homie. I was like, eyes got big as fuck. I was like, you gotta be shitting me right now. Mind you, these Negroes, just a minute ago, they wasn't shooting each other. They was fighting each other with swords and battle axes and shit like that. And you just looking at that and going like, what in the blue fuck are gang member, Crips for that matter, Crip gang members fighting each other with goddamn samurai swords and battle axes as if they're fucking Thor and fighting in Asgard right now? It was just the most weird, not to mention just a scene ago, whatever, we just saw the really big buff black dude screaming with blood cover on going, oh, I like to purge or whatever. And it was like, oh, okay, why don't somebody shoot his big ass? He's like standing right in the middle of nowhere. Overall, man, I gotta say, this movie is just pretty fucking dumb. The dialogue is probably easily one of the, it's up there, as, I ain't gonna say the worst, because, whew, that Ninja Turtles movie, that Tyler Perry and Megan Fox, y'all take the cake, but this has some of the worst goddamn dialogue written for it, which is funny, too, because Frank Grillo and the Senator's dialogue here, it sounds as if, like, you know, they're just normal people and stuff, and everybody else here is just a cartoonish character of what they're trying to be, and so they're just stereotype characters and shit, and you're just like, how come Frank and the Senator only got character development? Well, I ain't even saying character development. That's a long ass stretch for that now. Ain't no damn character development in this film. Your character development is, here's a Negro, he owns a shop, he gonna protect it. There you go. This white dude, Frank, his protection is, he got a job to do. That's his job. Senator is, I just won't win. That's your character development right here. Let me not forget Brittany Mirabelle here. She wants a candy bar. Character development. I will say, though, like I said, Frank Grillo, Senator, great in here. I thought the movie moved just a little. I thought it was good pacing, and it had some good pacing. I do think that it gets repetitive after a while. I mean, like, we've seen this before, been there, done that with these movies. It's just like, you're going to have to find ways to amp this up just a little bit. As much as I hate to say this, Fast and Furious finds a way to do even dumber shit in every new movie they come out with. I mean, you got a motherfucker, at one point, they're throwing a car off a bridge. Next thing you know, they're driving a tank. Now they're flying cars across buildings or whatever. I mean, so they find ways to amp up their stupidity. So I think this series needs to find new ways on how to be a little bit more genius. I know I'm using that word in quotes there as far as what to do with this premise, because I'm kind of just getting tired of everyone just getting a gun, just going bloodshed crazy. It's just like, okay, well, that's fine and stuff like that. And my God, fix the fucking dialogue, for crying out goddamn loud. Is that really that hard? Really that hard? Nobody is this psychopathic and just can be normal on a normal-ass basis and shit like that. Basically, you know your heroes make it. Like I said, Joe dies because somebody got to die out of this group, and why not the lovable black Negro friend here? Let me put that in quotes when I say lovable. He's barely lovable. He kind of got on my goddamn nerves at times. But saying that, like I said, I like Frank Grillo. Like the Senator. I like the atmosphere of the film, if you will. I thought that those two had great chemistries working together. Seeing Frank Grillo's a badass, you want to see that. That's what you pay these movies to see. I mean, you know, he's got that Punisher-esque vibe going for him. But there's a lot of dumb shit in this movie, and, you know, it was gonna get a stream, but, man, that dialogue, man, was just fucking killing me, because it just gets worse as this movie goes on. And it felt like this movie just didn't know where the hell it wanted to go towards the end either. Especially with all the subplots that kind of just came together and finally formed the end of this film. Why, like, Joe and them volunteered to even fucking help the Senator. It's like, I don't even get that premise neither. Why would he leave his store for this? Like, seriously, what does he owe them? Nothing at all. I didn't even get that part, to be honest. So I'm going to go low stream it. This is like one of those fun cable movies you probably saw back in the 90s or something like that, but it's as cheesy as a fucking 80s action film here. I was going to say there's no harm here, but you listen to the dialogue and the acting in here, and you'd be like, whoo, there's a lot of harm in here. But I think for the most people, I would say that I think that this film knows the audience is going to cater to, which is a lot of people that just likes to see this kind of shit, which is not me, I will say, on burn. So I think you guys will enjoy this, but I don't think if you're a fan of this trilogy now, I don't think you're going to like this film either. I mean, you might catch it on HBO or something like that. You catch some glimpses of it while you may be cooking in the background, ironing a shirt, getting ready for that hot date you're about to go to, or getting your purge outfit ready, just planning for that day to happen and saying, that P1, I'm going to kill that motherfucker one day for giving my movie a streaming, low stream, whatever the fuck he gave it. But I'm going low stream it, and I just want to say, I want my candy bar back, old man. God damn, that line was just fucking terrible.
What are you doing outside on Purge night, Senator? Come with us. There are threats everywhere. There's death everywhere. Y'all need to see this. One goal, survival. Keep my country great.